Ned Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, and he entered and was passing through Jericho. And behold, a man called by name Zacchaeus, and he was a chief publican, and he was rich. It is written, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the crowd, because he was little of stature. It is written, and he ran on before, and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. It is written, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house.
For God is just a prayer away.
And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have wrongfully exacted aught of any man, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, Today is salvation come to this house, forasmuch as he also is a son of Abraham. All the way my Savior leads me. What have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? All the way my Savior leads me, cheers each winding path I tread, gives me grace for every trial, feeds me with the living bread. All the way my Savior leads me, oh, the fullness of his love. Perfect love to me is promised in my Father's house above. Heavenly peace, divinest comfort. Here by faith in him I dwell. For I know whate'er befalls me, Jesus doeth all things well. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to this gospel message. Behold, a man. Now hear this again. And he entered and was passing through Jericho. And behold, a man called by name Zacchaeus. And he was a chief publican, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the crowd, because he was little of stature. And he ran on before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. Evidently, there must have been some reason why such a crowd thronged about Jesus in Jericho. The reason is not mentioned, but from other similar events, the reason was evident. According to the second chapter of Mark, when he entered again into Capernaum after some days, it was noticed that he was in the house, and many were gathered together, so that there was no room for them, no, not even about the door. And he spoke the word unto them. This is typical of the drawing power of the Word of God. It was the word that drew the people, and not the sick man that was healed let down through the roof. And this is not an isolated case. Once in Luke 5:1, we read where Jesus was preaching in the synagogue, and the multitude pressed upon him and heard the word of God. Jesus saw two boats standing by the lake. One boat belonged to Peter, and Jesus barred the boat and taught the multitude out of the boat. And this preaching of the word again was what drew the people. Then again, it may seem strange that Jesus would go to Jericho. There's no indication that he had gone there before, and after he went there on his way to the cross, he never went back after the resurrection as far as we know. Then we remember Jericho was a city that was under a curse because of the thievery of Achan, who stole a wedge of gold and a goodly Babylonish garment that God had forbidden. After Joshua fit the battle of Jericho and the walls came tumbling down, God said in Joshua 6, "Cursed be the man before the Lord, that riseth up and buildeth again the city of Jericho. He shall lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn, and in his youngest son shall be set up at the gates of it." Then, about the 500 years later, in 1 Kings 16, the prophecy was fulfilled. But on second thought, we can understand why Jesus went to a city under a curse. In Genesis 3:14-15, Almighty God put a curse upon the serpent because of that debacle in the Garden of Eden. God said to the serpent, "Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, but thou shalt bruise his heel." Then God said to Adam, "Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life, until thou returnest unto the ground, for out of it thou wast taken. Dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return." Because of sin, Adam and Eve and the whole human race were put under the curse of death. The devil being under a curse seems to be running the show today. Just a look at the news is sufficient proof. Evidently, the curse will last until the judgment day, when Jesus said in Matthew 25:41 that he would say to the disciples of the devil, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into the eternal fire which is prepared for the devil and his angels." And that is why Jesus came into the world that was under the curse of sin and death. He came to seek, to save, and redeem that which was lost, and that is why he could enter into the accursed city of Jericho. Actually, some of the cities of America seem to be under a curse. Chicago reminds us of gangsters. Las Vegas may remind us of gambling. But some might wonder why Zacchaeus went to all that trouble to run and climb that tree. What a spectacle! No doubt the crowd chanted, "Behold, he joggeth! Behold, he joggeth!" Why did he not ask someone in the crowd what they thought about Jesus and take their word for it? Zacchaeus was a man who was not satisfied with hand-me-down information on this important matter of salvation. He wanted to see it firsthand. Were you satisfied with second-hand information about your knowledge of Jesus and his word? Did you take some preacher's word for it? Or do you know what the Bible says from first-hand experience? Did you run on ahead and climb, as it were, the sycamore tree? I want to see Jesus, who he is, and see it for myself. In the book of Acts is a good example for us regarding a hand-me-down religion. Paul and Silas preached in the city of Berea in Acts 17, and it is said of the Bereans, they searched the scriptures daily whether these things were so. These people checked the scripture to verify the words of Paul. A good motto for any of us regarding knowledge of the Word of God is in the words of a former president who said, "Trust, but verify." Personally, I don't want a hand-me-down religion. Behold a man. There are a great many number of preachers I would trust with my salvation. But while I may trust them, I also want to trust and verify. Behold a man. Behold a short man. Zacchaeus sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the crowd because he was little of stature. He was a short man. Zacchaeus was not only short physically, but he was a short man spiritually. Paul referred to him and to us also in the book of Romans, chapter 3, when he said, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. No one is tall enough to see Jesus in the crowd. Behold a man, a short man." Now Jesus looked up and saw him up in the tree and said, "Zacchaeus, be quickly, come down, for today I must abide at thy house." And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Actually, that is the only way to respond to an invitation from Jesus. Acts 9:20 says, "When the Lord called Saul in Damascus, straightway in the synagogue he preached Jesus, that he is the Son of God." Right now is when he began. He didn't wait. Then in Acts 16, when Paul received the invitation to preach at Macedonia, from the man standing and beseeching, "Come over into Macedonia and help us," we concluded that God had called us to preach the gospel unto them, and immediately they were on their way. Then there was Matthew 8:14. When he was come to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother-in-law lying sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she arose and ministered unto them. She did not need time after she recovered to do other things, but immediately arose and ministered unto them, which is the only way to respond to an invitation from the Lord. It needs to be done immediately, straightway, and right now. Then the fact that Jesus told Zacchaeus, "He must abide at thy house," had a further blessing. An example of having the presence of Jesus in the house is noticed in Luke 24. Two disciples had been walking along the road to Emmaus with Jesus, didn't know who he was, the day of the resurrection. They invited him to abide with them in the breaking of bread. They recognized him in the breaking of bread and declared after he left, "Was not our heart burning within us while he spake to us in the way and opened unto us the scripture?" The presence of Jesus in the house always gives the warming of the heart by his presence. "Make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." Zacchaeus gives us good example when he received Jesus into his house. Now look at that sycamore tree again. Now there's no way anyone can see Jesus from the top of a sycamore tree. The only way to see Jesus as he is at the bottom of the tree, looking up and seeing Jesus hanging on the tree. Peter said of Jesus in his first epistle, the second chapter, "He who has his own self bear our sins in his body on the tree, that we, having died unto sins, might live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed." So when we read in Galatians 3:8, "Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, Cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. Jesus hanging in the tree was a theme of much of the preaching of both Peter and Paul. Peter accused the high priest and his crew in Acts 5, God raised up Jesus whom ye slew, hanging him on a tree. Him did God exalt with his right hand, to be a prince and a savior, to give repentance to Israel and remission of sins. This short man, Zacchaeus, was not alone in not being able to see Jesus in the crowd. No one is tall enough to see Jesus in the crowd. Some cannot see Jesus because of a crowd of preachers. Many a person could see how to get into Christ, but their preacher stands in the way. A preacher can block the view by lack of understanding about what it takes to attain salvation. Some cannot see Jesus because of a crowd of hypocrites. Somehow, when they think of the Lord, they put themselves right behind a hypocrite and let him block out the Lord. Others cannot see Jesus because of a crowd made up of their friends. The lifestyle of some friendships is enough to block out the view of Jesus as he passes through their Jericho. And oddly enough, sometimes parents can blot out the view of Jesus. I've known of many a person who cannot see Jesus because they hide behind the tombstones of the parents' view of salvation. That crowd may blot out your view of Jesus as the divine virgin-born Son of God. That crowd may blot out your view of Jesus and his resurrection as the firstborn from the dead. That crowd may block out the view of Jesus as he started the church on the day of Pentecost, and the terms of pardon given that day were for their children and for all that were afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call unto him, and are still binding today. Behold, a man. And now not only was he a short man, he was also a wise man. Behold, a wise man. Zacchaeus could have said, I wanted to see Jesus, but the crowd was in my way. And under the circumstances, it was not my fault. He was not going to let the crowd cheat him out of what became the greatest moment in his life. Zacchaeus was not a man who blamed circumstances. He ran on before and climbed up the sycamore tree and got on top of the circumstances. Once to every man and nation comes the moment to decide. In the strife of false or goodhood toward the evil side, some great cause God's great Messiah offers each the bloom or blight, and the choice goes on forever twixt that darkness and that light. Come on down, behold a man, and then behold a generous man. Zacchaeus stood before the Lord. And when he stood before the Lord, we are reminded of what John said in his first epistle in the 3rd chapter regarding the Lord's return. He said, We shall be made like him, for we shall see him as he is. That statement is also true while we are here on earth. Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and saw him as he is at that time and wanted to be like him. Many people today see a ball player as he is and want to be like him. They may see the movie star as he is and want to be like him. The greatest model for life for us today is Jesus. Zacchaeus saw Jesus as he was and wanted to be like him. That is why he said, Behold, I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I have wrongfully exacted aught of any man, I restore fourfold. We need to look at Jesus as the Scripture reveals him, and to be like him as we hear him giving the Great Commission to the apostles. with the orders to preach the gospel to every creature. Be like Jesus, as you see him, as he preached the Sermon on the Mount. See him as he is and try to be like him. Zacchaeus was a generous man because he wanted to be like Jesus. Not long before this, the rich young ruler had come to Jesus, and the Lord told him to go sell everything he had and give to the poor. He went away sorrowful, for he was one that had great possessions. As the rich young ruler walked sorrowfully away, Jesus said, "It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for the rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven." Zacchaeus was the exception. He was the rich man who went through the eye of the needle, because Jesus said, "With God, all things are possible." The story of Zacchaeus is the climax of the rich young ruler story. Zacchaeus said, "Lord, I will give you 50%. The Lord said, "Sounds like a good deal. I'll take it." Money was the problem with the rich young ruler, but this was not the problem with Zacchaeus. He was a generous man. In the case of the rich young ruler, he did not have any money. His money had him. Behold, a man. And now last we note, behold, a saved man. This was the most important thing about Zacchaeus. He was a saved man. We know he was a saved man because Jesus said so. Today is salvation come to this house, forasmuch as he also is a son of Abraham. And ladies and gentlemen, we can have the same assurance. Paul said in Galatians, the 3rd chapter, "As many of us as were baptized into Christ did put on Christ. There can be neither bond nor free. There can be neither male nor female. There can be neither Jew nor Greek. But ye are all one man in Christ Jesus. And if Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed, and heirs according to promise." Zacchaeus had no idea that day when he climbed the sycamore tree that salvation would be his that very day. He was like the man Isaiah talked about in Isaiah 65, verse 1. "I am sought of them that ask not for me. I am found of them that sought me not. With the great physician, there is no hopeless case from the disease of sin. Even with a man like Zacchaeus, rejected by his own race and countrymen, when Zacchaeus climbed the sycamore tree that day, he never dreamed before the day was over that he would hear the Savior of the world announce, 'Today is salvation come to this house.' Behold, a man." That phrase sounds familiar as we turn through the pages of God's Word to John, the 19th chapter, and recall how Pilate brought out another man, the battered form of Jesus, arrayed in a purple garment and wearing a crown of thorns, and shouted to a jeering mob, "Behold, the man." Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God Is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast, brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Check out our website, Praise the Lord, Pass the Ammunition. Until next week at this same time, don't forget to tell somebody somehow and in some way that God is just a prayer away.